is America's emotional well-being expert. She is the author of Emotional Abundance, Become Empowered. Michelle has appeared numerous times in national media, including Fox Television and in Women's World magazine. As a life coach, psychotherapist, and professional speaker, Michelle leads thousands of people away from the common misunderstanding that they have about themselves and their emotional well-being in order that they can live life with what she calls passionate intensity. Michelle will be sharing with us the reason why people feel stuck, insecure, and depleted, and how to overcome this. All this just this evening as we discuss how to gain an emotional advantage. Welcome, Michelle. Are you out there? So, Michelle, I'm so excited to have you on the call this evening.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
And, you know, I really thought it'd be neat if you could just tell us a little bit about your background before we delve into how to gain an emotional advantage, because I'm just curious to hear and our listeners to share with them what's really led you to do this work.
Sure. Well, Suzanne, as you know, my background is both as a psychotherapist and life coach, professional life coach, and what led me to this unique take where I start to see our emotions as an advantage was through my own struggles. After all this training, and I was also a self-help junkie and had the thousands of self-help books that I read, there was still points where my emotions would bring me down, and I just couldn't wrap my head around why I was feeling that way, especially because for the most part, my life was going really well. So when these down moments would happen, I was feeling, what's going on with me? What's wrong with me? Why am I feeling this way? And I just couldn't get it. And now, through having that personal struggle, I can see what we've been doing wrong. And in fact, this wrong sense about understanding our emotions is what psychotherapists are trained in, what professional life coaches are. Not that the whole theories are wrong, but there's a specific point to the purpose of our emotions which aren't understood. And so what I'm really teaching people is the difference between us trying to let go of our emotions, and that's the part that I think is commonly taught, versus our emotions naturally letting go of us. And when they naturally let go of us, we can honor that and support that through knowing how to work with them rather than what's usually taught, which is trying to get rid of. There's a big difference between trying to get rid of these feelings versus them naturally letting go of us and us working with them.
Well, that's interesting. I'm sure we'll be delving into this more as we go along, but, you know, your first thought is when you hear that, well, gosh, the emotions I'm thinking about are stress and anger and fear, and I don't know, Michelle, does it sound like something I want to experience? I don't see how that can be helpful.
Well, that's exactly it, but what we don't realize is that just because we don't want to experience them doesn't mean that they're happening to us, and I know people want to be good people, and we want to have happy lives, but what we have to understand is if we try to cover up these emotions and not address them or even put a positive spin that our life is okay and these emotions are still there, we are, our vibration, our energy level is functioning at a much lower state than we could actually have. So we're missing opportunities then to know what it's like to live with a sense of even more freedom. Even if you're a happy person, that's where that passionate intensity that I'm talking about gets sparked when we free ourselves from all of that and allow our emotions to do their work naturally with us so that they can let go of us.
Well, that's exciting. I'm sure people are excited to hear more about that. And how does this all relate to tonight's topic, which is gaining an emotional advantage? I mean, what exactly does that mean?
Yes. Well, that's what I'm so excited about because, you know, most people think of stress and anger and frustration and guilt and sadness. You know, who would want to have that? And that's always seemed as a detriment and holds us back. And what I want to teach people is that it's our thinking about those things and the way we've been taught to deal with them that holds us back. Those actual feelings don't. but it's our interpretation of them. And so having the emotional advantage is knowing that when these feelings come up, I know exactly what it's about, and therefore I know exactly what to do so that these emotions release. And in doing so, I actually am given exact direction and guidance that I need to improve my life. And this is perfect given today's circumstances where the world is facing a lot of changes and people are in a lot of fear and there's a lot of fear around us. And if we buy into that mentally, we're going to get tossed around in that a lot and struggle with a lot of worry and a lot of fear. Versus if you know how to utilize these emotions, you're going to feel like you know exactly what to do, exactly what will give you the upper hand in these situations, regardless of what everyone else is experiencing. So first of all, you don't have to experience that, which is an advantage. And second of all, you're going to be guided as to what you can do so that you feel more at peace. You feel a sense of certainty and that creative, intuitive flow comes through you so that you can have creative solutions to experiences that may be impacting your life at this time.
So this is interesting. So you're saying, you might feel scared, you might feel sad, you might feel angry, but with each emotion, there's almost a separate toolkit of knowing what to do.
Yes.
Each one guides you to kind of a different discovery. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that each of our emotions, and this is what I share in my book in greater detail, but for instance, like anger, when we feel anger, that's about us wanting to claim more of our power. But what's usually associated with anger are we get this image of either ourselves or someone else that is very unpleasant and very demanding, or, you know, we have all sorts of images of why we don't want to express that anger. And first of all, we're not meant to express it in that dramatic way. That's not what the anger is about. What we have to understand is that there's two messages that we get when we feel something. One is always going to be on the ego level. And what I mean by that, what it means is the blame goes on somebody else, or we are disempowering ourselves by saying that we don't have control over the situation. It's kind of like, oh, what can I do? These are the circumstances. This is life. And we give away our power. And our anger is actually there to direct us as to exactly how we can claim that power in that instance. But a lot of times we attach ourselves to the ego message and we totally miss the true reason that feeling is there. And so what happens is the more we miss it, the more that feeling has to get louder and louder trying to get our attention to say, hey, you got to get this. You got to do this. I need you to change. And it's there actually supporting us to help us shift back to a state that will work for us, that is easier for us, that does feel better to us. And that's what's so exciting to me, because it doesn't matter if you're generally a happy person and sometimes your emotions get the best of you, you know, or if you're a person that really struggles with your feelings and have a hard time with it daily, this information is going to benefit you.
Well, this is really exciting information, I think, especially like what you said earlier. There are so many changes going on, and people are experiencing so many heightened emotions that knowing what to do with this and why it's happening and really how to use it to their advantage sounds really exciting.
Yes, it is. It is.
And I know you're excited about this work.
Yes, I am. And because I've been there. I've been one of the people that have struggled with it daily, and then I moved to a point where, you know, I was a really happy person, but when it came, it would still kind of throw me off. And, you know, I don't want to give people false hope, because I've been there, and like I said, I've read all the books, and this is something that works, and that's you know, I've done it with myself, and now I'm leading hundreds of people through this so that they can see that this is the link that's been missing. And people who have been medicated, people who have been to therapy for 8 years, 10 years, will work with me, get this information, and they're shifted. And these are tools. What excites me about it is that I am just a person that guides you to understand these tools. And then you're taking these tools onto your life. And it's not that you'll never experience sadness again. It's not that you'll never experience anger again. But it's when you experience it, you know what it's about, and you know what to do with it. And what's exciting was I used to be a person that was sad all the time, to where now when I get sad, a part of me gets a little giddy because I know my life, I'm being guided to tweak my life just a little bit more so it's just a little bit more joyful and a little bit more easy, or whatever is behind that message. So, and that's what this new understanding does. We don't have to take the emotion so personally, and that personal component is totally about the ego versus using these as signals that are there to guide our core sense of self to live life better.
Well, you know, you just said something really interesting, and it reminded me of the newsletters that you send out. And your newsletters are, for folks on the line, are something that we can tell them about later about how to sign up for, because you always provide so many tips and tools. And I remember that you once wrote a newsletter about how you were excited that you were sad. And to people on the call, we may not be quite ready for that. What would you say would be maybe kind of the first step toward gaining this advantage, or just really kind of stepping into this?
Well, the first step is really to acknowledge where you're at. Do you even know how you feel the majority of the time? And unfortunately, this is where a lot of people are at, that they don't even recognize what they're feeling, because we're so used to having all these options to turn to cope with and deny what's really going on with us. So we can turn from everything to food, to alcohol, to the internet and surfing the internet for hours, or the TV, shopping, I mean, you name it. We can figure out how to busy ourselves away from attending to what's really going on. So the first step is that. And then the second step is, once you can tell what is really going on for you, if I'm feeling sad, or I'm feeling angry or frustrated or guilty, whatever that feeling is, it's to get a sense of what are you telling yourself about it. And this is going to be key, because if you're taking away your own power, if you're saying, well, and I hear this a lot, especially with people with relationship issues, and relationships, especially now that the economy's thrown off, people's relationships are getting thrown off. And what's happening is that people are giving away their power. They're saying, oh, well, that person, you know, he or she will never change, and there's nothing I can do about my husband's work schedule. He works all the time. And it's true. We don't have power over those external factors. However, we do have power over our way of addressing it and what we want to do about it, given the circumstance. But what people do is they put the responsibility on somebody else, and that it has to be them that changes, or these circumstances that changes, and we're ultimately giving away our power. Mm. Now, if we do listen to our emotions and we express those emotions, it's also listening to what is the message. So are we what I call being the victim, where that is putting the fault on somebody else, or trying or blaming it on the external, versus claiming that power piece. And whenever we're saying I'm empowered to switch my life, I'm feeling like I have direction as to how to run my life, especially when it's not a rational thought, because a lot of times we get caught into what our rational mind thinks we should do, where our emotions are very intuitive. And that's what's going to give you the advantage, because our intuition can come up with so many solutions, so many new and creative ideas that our rational mind would never believe, never comprehend.
Well, I'm always excited to talk about intuition, but before I do that, I want to kind of go back to what you said about this, how people can become victims, because, you know, you're saying, well, they maybe, I mean, I'm sure there's people listening who are saying, well, but this really is happening, you know, my husband lost his job, you know, I'm, this is happening to me, and all the economy and all these things are happening, but so are you saying that even in those situations where they sort of feel like outside things that are happening to you, that there's still a possibility, I mean, you can still become empowered even during those times?
Absolutely. And that's whatever your emotion is regarding that circumstance, that's your key to actually knowing how to better your life given those circumstances. It's like that is, here's the guidance that you're looking for. And instead, you're utilizing it in ways that takes away your ability to make change. And what this is all about is learning to see those emotions as there to support us, and then how we can utilize them to act upon them in ways that are better going to serve our given circumstances. And what's so challenging about this is that no one wants to see themselves as the victim. So this goes, people can stay stuck in this literally for years. I mean, I've talked to people 20, 30 years. They have no idea until we start talking, and then it's like, oh my gosh, that's what I've been doing. I haven't been owning the part that I can create my own shifts with this. And see, what people get stuck on is they say, you know, I can't change that. And it's true. There's some external things, you know, horrific stories where people that, you know, their loved one has cancer. You cannot change that. That is absolutely correct. But there is ways that we can address that situation in a way that our emotion is guiding us to address that situation in a way that's going to make it better for us to handle the situation. And that's what saddens me, is that our ego can trick us into saying, I'm not the victim, and this is just life, and these are just my circumstances. And it gets even trickier because we may not play the victim in all our roles of life. You know, usually we could have a great career or a great relationship, but there's an aspect to something that happens in our life. Maybe it's our finances, let's say, or maybe it's our weight, where we do go into that role. And we come up with all sorts of excuses, which don't feel like excuses, but they are, as to what we're really meant to be.
Well, this, I mean, I can relate to that one because we do work with people a lot in that area, and you see that there's so many habits that form, but that they become excuses for people, and I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting, though, because you mentioned the intuition before, and then now you just kind of brought up the ego. And it, I mean, how do people kind of distinguish between this intuition or the inner voice that you talk about in your book, and knowing the difference between that and their, you know, their ego talking to them?
Yes. Well, this is really good because people get very confused about this, and, you know, it can even sound a little weird and all these different voices in my head and what's going on. But, you know, we all have this conversations that go on in our heads. But the difference is when we listen to our inner voice, first of all, you're always going to feel good and empowered. And for a lot of people, they have another voice, which is very judgmental, critical, and that's the voice of the ego. You're not going to feel good with that. It's the ego will make you feel empty and confused and alone, and it's really the ego is about blame, and it's going to either blame us that we should be doing this or should be doing that, or puts that blame on somebody else. So when those type of things, messages start coming through, that's the ego. Our inner voice, on the other hand, is very gentle and subtle, very, very subtle, but is going to give a voice that offers suggestions without putting you down or without making you feel like you should be doing this. It's that those are the aha moments, but also those little inclinations like, oh, I didn't think about that, or and here an idea is popping through. What's interesting is that what's really going on for a lot of people is that they worry that without their ego, they're going to become complacent. Like they're not going to be able to do as much as they've been able to do. And the key part with that is that it's right. You're not going to be able to do all that you've been doing because for the most part, you shouldn't be doing all that. You know, I see so many times with everyone trying to be superhuman. And that's part of the fear is that people want to be everything to everybody. And that's part of the reason why they don't want to listen to their inner voice, because their inner voice is going to be guiding them to say, you can't do this anymore. This is draining you. This is making you turn to other things to cope. This is not for your highest good. So if you're feeling worn out and depleted, know that that's a sign that you're listening to your ego too much. And following your inner voice, on the other hand, what's so amazing about it is that you will be able to get more done and feel good and energized about life because you're learning to attend to yourself first, attend to your emotional needs, physical, spiritual, and it's just remarkable how different life is. But we're so fearful of it because all we're used to is the ego.
Well, for folks who are just joining us a little late on the call, I'm talking with life coach and psychotherapist and author Michelle Bursell, who's the author of Emotional Abundance, Become Empowered, and we are talking about our emotions and how we can gain an emotional advantage. And Michelle, you know, I read your book, and it was just very eye-opening for me. And one thing that I began to do after reading your book was really distinguish between what you're talking about right now, the inner voice and the ego, and the thoughts coming from the ego. And before that, though, I'd have to say that I don't think I think it was all muddled up in there. So I didn't distinguish between the two in the sense that you're talking about now. I mean, what if people are thinking right now, well, I don't really hear any voice that feels good and nurturing like you're talking about. What's going on there if they don't feel that?
Right. Good. That's a great question. Thank you for asking that. That is what happens when our inner voice totally gets shut down and shut out because we have attached ourselves completely to the voice of the ego. And it's determining that this voice does not serve me. Because a part of you is buying into that you need this voice. Like, yeah, it's kind of hard on me, but it makes me a better person. No way. It doesn't. And that's not, that's cruelty to ourselves to listen to a voice that says judgmental and harsh things, criticism to ourselves. And so it's learning to know that when those messages come through, that first of all, that's your ego, and the ego's job is to keep you small, and that's not out of that the ego is bad necessarily. That's just its job, and it has to fulfill that job until you are ready to claim the real you, the core you, the true you, the authentic you. And the problem is that you think there's something wrong with the real you, the authentic you, if you're hanging on to the ego. So it's saying that is my warning sign to say I need to stop and learn how to be good to myself. And our emotions are the best key to learn how to do that because then every time you're sad, every time you're angry, if instead of listening to the ego voice, if you just tune in to you and what's really going on for you, you're going to make a significant shift right there.
Well, I know you love emotions because on your website you call them the little gems or the gifts that we keep throwing away. I mean, what do you mean by that? We're tossing our emotions out in the garbage literally just because we're not paying attention to them.
Yeah, we're not paying attention to them, or we're there and we're saying, you know, well, I don't like these, so I, you know, I'm just gonna do what I can just to not think about them, not attend to them. So, you know, and even things that we do that in our mind are positive, you know, maybe we're upset and we go exercise. Maybe we're upset and we put a positive slant on what's really going on for us. Although we think that's good, you gotta admit that when that same emotion keeps popping up, that let's understand that that emotion is living within us. And the more that it lives within us and we're not willing to attend to it and look at it for what it is, that's where our energy goes. Picture yourself pushing your hands down and trying to stomp out this these feelings that we don't want to admit that we have. And that's why we become depleted, because of that. You know, our energy is supposed to flow, but we are putting our stop to it. And so these emotions come up. I want you to think of them as a signal that we don't judge it when, I certainly hope we don't, when our hand touches something hot and the hand and our feeling sensors tell us to pull back because it's not for our highest good to be touching that hot item, that hot pan or whatever it is. We don't judge it. We say, you know, oh, you know, maybe we don't thank it. But we're grateful that we're not holding on to that for that hot pan, because we have those sensors to guide us. It's the same with our emotions, but for some reason, we're shooting the messenger. We're, you know, if you were like me, you're saying, you know, what's wrong with me? Why am I feeling this way? I've got a good life, or I'm healthy, or things could be worse. You know, what's wrong with me? And in fact, there's nothing wrong with you, and I'm happy for you if you're one of those people that have ever been called sensitive in their life, because you're really going to have an emotional advantage, because that sensitivity is there to guide you. And these are the gifts, if we allow our life, that give us passion, that help us create and have the things in life that we want that feel good and right to us. And I don't just mean material things, I mean on all levels. And we throw away the direction as to how to get that all the time. And it's sad. It's sad that we do that, because then we just end up fighting instead of going through life in more of a flow.
Well, I always think it's interesting too, because you have this idea, or you talk about the gift of our emotions, and it's interesting because most people think of emotions being as either negative or positive. I mean, you got your positive ones, love, joy, happiness, and then when you think of anger and fear and sadness, you just tend to think of those as negative, but you like to call those, I mean, you kind of lump them all together in the positive category, is that right?
Oh, yes. And in fact, what I really encourage people to do is to begin to see those emotions that we claim as negative as our best friends. Now, do they feel uncomfortable? Yeah, they feel uncomfortable at first, and especially if you're not used to dealing with them. But it's kind of like a, you know, a best friend that's willing to be there for you even in those uncomfortable times, and say, yeah, be uncomfortable, because this isn't good for you. This isn't what's in your highest good. So please attend to this, so you can go back to feeling your normal state of peace, freedom, joy, because that's all that the reason why we like joy. It's just a signal to say what we're doing works. You know, that's a good thing that we should be doing. And so when we feel sadness, it's just the opposite. It's saying whatever we're doing needs to be tweaked, needs to change a bit, so that you can go back to a feeling of your natural state, which is loving and joyful and fun and at peace.
Well, I think this is all starting to make sense, and I hope for everyone listening on the call, because what I'm getting from what you're saying is that if, you know, we don't experience these what we would call negative emotions, but these emotions, then what happens is we actually don't we think that they've gone away, but in a sense you're saying that we've just kind of stuffed them down there further.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and for some people, they're so stuffed down And people are always amazed because I'll get people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they're saying to me, "You mean I've been doing this for that many years?" And oh yeah, it usually starts in our families that we learn to do this. And it's not that our families were necessarily bad or anything like that, but we all try to get along as a cohesive unit as best we can. And we take on certain roles, and those roles may not necessarily jive with our true selves. And so we take on this personality that that doesn't work for us and isn't aligned with our truth, and we become too attached to that rather than staying in this natural flow state that will allow us to experience all that we're meant to and create in our life the experiences that we want to have.
Well, this is great. I'm really enjoying this call. I want to share with everyone to stay on for the end of the call as we continue to move into the second half of our call. Michelle is going to have a couple of special offers for us this evening, which we'll be able to talk about in a little bit. But before we do that, Michelle, I want to hear some more about your book, because I really enjoyed reading it, and I just want to hear more about what really inspired you to write Emotional Abundance, Become Empowered.
Well, Suzanne, I never intended to write a book, so that was part of what happened for me, was that through my own struggles, as I mentioned, I was guided to write, and I had no idea that I was being guided to write a book, but I started waking up every day at 4:30 a.m., no alarm clock, just being that inner voice guiding me. And that's what happens when we get in touch with this inner voice, that we form a relationship with this inner wisdom within us. And but of course, I was still fighting this inner wisdom. When I was getting woken up at 4:30 in the morning, I was saying, "Are you kidding me? I want to go back to bed." But you know, every day I would wake up, and it took me about 4 or 5 months to realize that I'm writing a book, and I'm writing about all the challenges, and I really get in detail about my book, what I've personally gone through and what my clients have gone through, because I want people to get real-life examples about this, because I think our ego can be so tricky, and you even see that in my newsletter where I write about how I can still get tripped up in it, and, you know, my goodness, this is my life work, but so, you know, this book, I feel like, just came out of me. It was never an intention for me to write a book, but here was this information, and it was finally something that I struggled with for years was making sense, and it really shed light on not only my life, but then all these people that I started working with, and I knew it had to be shared.
Wow, that's empowering. And the part about getting up at 4:30 a.m. is you got to know something's going on there, because that certainly isn't a time that you want to be getting up. And you should also share with everyone that you have three small children at this time when this was happening. Is that right?
Oh yeah, I had three kids in 18 months. So I had my daughter, and then I had my twin boys 18 months later, and my twin boys weren't even one yet. So I really cherished sleep at that point. I really, you know, it took my boys a long time to start sleeping through the night. And, you know, we were just getting there right when they were about to turn one. And so to be woken up at 4:30, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But I had to go with it. And that's what I want people to know, how exciting and what a journey life takes us on when we use our emotions to connect with this inner voice. It's there guiding us to do things we never thought we would do. And that to me is living. It's like, oh my gosh, I get to go on this ride, and I get to wake up every day, and it's a new ride, and I don't know what the ride's going to be, and maybe it's going to, you know, go down low and into some of those lower emotions that we don't want to hit, but it's going to take me back up, and it's going to allow me to soar and live this life that I just never dreamed of having. And that's what's so exciting. I feel like my life is beyond my dream. And I mean, what else can you say if life feels like that, you know? And it doesn't mean that I don't experience feelings that I'm challenged with, but the difference is I don't have to struggle with them, and I know what to do with them, and that allows me to go back to that state that brings me more joy and fun and all that good stuff in life.
Mm. Well, this must mean what your title is, emotional abundance. I mean, is there any more you need to kind of explain about that? Or what, I guess my question would be, is if we're not emotionally abundant, what are we? What's kind of the opposite of that?
You know, I think it's emotional suffering. I think it's elongating our pain more than it needs to. There is no need for us to suffer emotionally. There really isn't. And I understand on a core level why we do, and I also understand on a core level what we need to do to shift that. But, you know, I want your listeners to know today that there are these simple things that we're talking about that will guide them to start making these shifts. And I think a shift just happens when we realize that our emotions have a much different meaning than what is typically out there and how we typically treat those emotions that we don't like.
Well, you know, you talk about another thing I know is in your book and I think on your website too, you talk about this idea of surviving versus truly living. And I mean, it sounds like what you're saying now as you've experienced all these things and you've come to really understand your emotions is that you're living life almost in a different dimension. I mean, you're truly living it and you're just so excited about it. But I think a lot of people are just surviving and the day-to-day is just the mundane and it's, you know, lower level. Tell us a little bit about this idea of surviving versus truly living.
Yes. Well, I really encourage people to go on my website and check and take my free quiz. I've got a free quiz about this, and I'm really honest with you about, you know, if you're doing a great job and you're truly living, if you could use a little, you know, things to remind you how to do that, but you're mostly on track, or if you really could use some deeper looking into with that. And the sad part is that, you know, I don't like to see people in their 60s saying to me, "Oh my gosh, I've done this all my life and I didn't realize it." And I talk about this in my book too, how you're either in the game of life playing or you're on the sidelines. And most people think that for the most part they're playing, and they're not. I mean, they're not playing as fully as they can be. They're kind of half in and half out, and there's just so much more, and the majority don't know about it. And the truth is, you don't know how good it is until you actually feel it. I mean, you could say, yeah, you know, I'm pretty happy, but are you excited about your life? Are you passionate about something? I mean, do you get up and say, "Wow, what do I get to experience today?" I really believe that's how we're meant to live, and so doing anything less than that isn't necessary. That's all. I mean, we can go on in different levels of survival mode, but it's, you know, I just want to encourage people to understand that there is a way of living that makes you feel like, I guess, you're flying more than walking on this earth plane.
or dragging, as some of us might describe our day-to-day.
Yeah, for sure. No more dragging. We don't need to drag, I promise. And I was a past dragger.
Well, flying sounds good. Michelle, what do you think about this whole kind of positive thinking movement? I mean, clearly it's been around for many years, but I feel like it's hitting a resurgence and everybody's kind of, you know, it seems as if they, even if they're feeling something, they think, well, I'm just going to think positive about this. I mean, how does this tie into all of this?
Yes. Well, you know, I'm not opposed to positive thinking. I think there are times when we need to support ourselves to make different shifts in our mentality and our thinking about things, especially stuff that's just old stuff and and habit for us to think that way. Now, the test that I always give people is, this is how you know if positive thinking is working for you or it's not. If you're experiencing something and you can come up with a slant to put on it that shifts it for you, and it genuinely shifts you, meaning you feel different, and that feeling stays, and the emotion that was going along with it that was bringing you down does not resurface in the next hour, day, or week, then you know that you created a shift, and it didn't need to come back. Now, that emotion, this is what I want you to get. Remember, it's just a signal. So if that emotion has to come back, it's saying, that positive thinking isn't working for this. There needs to be more to this that you're not getting the message, or that you need to change, and you're not listening to it. And so if we try to keep positive thinking over something that really needs to shift, what happens is that, again, that emotion will be louder, has to get stronger to get our attention until it's like we decide if we're in enough pain or not to really listen and create the shift. So you got to decide how painful do I want my life to be?
Well, and it's interesting because we'll be coming up on the new year, and you and I have talked about this before, but, you know, sometimes you look at your New Year's resolutions. I was talking with someone earlier this week about that, and they had been setting the same New Year's resolutions for, like, the last, you know, 15 years, and it's kind of the same thing. I mean, you're looking at that, and you say, wow, I'm still not meeting my goals or my intentions, and in the same way you're saying that if these emotions kind of keep coming back, the same ones, that there's a missing piece here.
Yes, and, you know, honestly, I think that piece is a sense of love and deservedness towards ourselves that I think why people have such a hard time even acknowledging this emotional piece, that this can really be there to guide us like it is, because we don't know how deserving we are to have a life that feels good and purposeful to us, because we don't know how perfect we are just because we're here. And just because we're here, we're meant to have a life that feels great to us. And so, I think the root of that is not that we totally don't love ourselves, but there's just a piece of lack of love and deservedness and knowing how deserving we are to feel good in all parts of our life.
Well, that's very empowering to hear that, because I think that, I mean, I speak with a lot of women every day, and, I mean, one of the big issues that keeps coming up with people is this kind of guilt, whether they know directly that it's guilt or you can just sense it, that they can't do those things for themselves, or they see that whether it's getting support for themselves or taking care of themselves in any way, really, is that, you know, there's a block there. So, I mean, does that kind of tie into what you're saying?
Oh, yes, because the whole guilt thing is regarding our self-worth, you know. Do I deserve doing this for myself? And do I have a sense of trust in myself to follow through? So we will feel guilty when a part of us buys into a message that we subconsciously fear about ourselves. And if we're fearing that about ourselves, then we don't know our self-worth. And so once we gain certainty about who we are, and that's what our emotions are helping us to do, is to gain certainty about who we are. So if somebody calls us selfish, a bitch, whatever else we fear people calling us, that we know with a sense of certainty within ourselves that that is not our truth, and that we are acting in a way that is for our highest good, and in the long run, for everyone's highest good. And that's, you have to have that sense of certainty within you. No one else can give that to you, and that's a true trust. To know that this, your core self holds so much inner wisdom that even if it causes a confrontation, disruption, uncomfortableness, challenges, that it's there to support us. So what I always tell people about guilt, if guilt comes up, you can ask yourself if your actions reflect your highest good. And if yes, then the guilt is just your ego testing you regarding your sense of certainty about who you are. So that's going to happen on our road to gaining certainty. The ego tests us. It's almost like the analogy of you don't feed that wolf, and the more that wolf starves, the louder it's going to howl and try to get your attention to feed it. But if you get to the point where you're like, you know, I'm just not feeding you, ego. I'm not buying into this guilt anymore, then that guilt will naturally go away. Now, if the guilt comes up and you have a sense of certainty about yourself, and you can ask yourself, you know, were my actions in the highest good? And they weren't. Well, then you know. And you don't have to beat yourself up. It's like, okay, that didn't work for me, and I don't want to do that again. That made me feel like crap. So now I'm going to do it differently. And there is no need to hang on to that feeling. Again, the feeling naturally releases you because you have you've developed a trusting relationship with your core self where you will follow through. And you mean it. When you say, I will never do that again, you don't compromise your integrity. And that way the guilt doesn't have to hang on. So you have to determine, you know, is this just my ego or is there something I really need to look at? But either way, if you address it as you're intended to, as what the message is there for, it will go away.
Well, this is great stuff. This is really good. This is so helpful, I think, for people, especially just right now during the holiday season as we're coming up into this busiest time of year. A lot of people feel guilt about they should go to this party, they shouldn't go to this party, they should do these certain things, and really learning to tap into this inner voice that you've been talking about and listening to their emotions as their truth, I think is just a great step for them this year.
Yes, because it's trying to tell them about their self-worth, and that's when, again, it all goes back to our love for ourselves and deservedness. And we do not, our holidays are not meant to run us ragged. And that's so sad because then we lose the holiday spirit. I mean, mm-hmm. And that's what it's supposed to be about, is that spirit, not about, shopping and cookies and all that stuff. So, you know, there's much more to it. There's certainly those things can be a part of it, but if we put too much emphasis on that's my point, that we get lost in that.
Well, absolutely. You know, one question I did want to ask you, because you talk about in your book that our emotions are our truth, and that's what we've been talking about, that they truly define who we are. I mean, is there any time when we shouldn't reveal our emotions? You hear that phrase, masking our emotions. Is there any time that we shouldn't do this?
No.
Okay. I can't believe I asked that question.
Yeah. No, and I want to say it like that because, you know, people always think, well, certainly there, you know, there's inappropriate times to share my emotions. Well, This is what I want to tell you, is that you never want to deny how you feel to you. And half the time, that's what we're doing. It's like, you know, we're not trying to mask our emotions to somebody else. We're doing it to ourselves. And the other part of this is that, so you never have to deny how you're feeling. And if you're being guided through your feelings that you need to express those feelings to someone else, we have choices in what that expression looks like. So, people are always worried about the drama that can surround their anger or their sadness or whatever. But what I want to share with you is that our emotions are never intended to get to that point. That's us doing that to our emotions. We stuff them down and stuff them down, and then they blow up like a volcano, and you see these funky, crazy parts of us come out that have nothing to do with our truth. And that's because it's like, letting a caged animal out. It's like, you know, you're going to see this something that's been stuffed down finally get released, and it's going to feel out of control. And that's what people tie into those emotions, especially like anger and sadness. And that is our doing if they become like that. The sadness is again there for a signal. Anger is there for a signal. So we don't have to worry about them if we regularly attend to them. And we have a choice as to how they're expressed, and we can express them more lovingly when we are lovingly attending to them within ourselves.